Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is up, Commanders fans? The Super Bowl is behind us, but that doesn't mean this show is about to stop. Got my man Brian Murphy all the way down there in the ATL. He doesn't know what a Brahma Bull is.
I don't.
We can talk about that later. But Brian, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. It's Valentine's Day, but you know, as much as I love my wife, as much as I love my kids, they're the loves of my life. I am feeling a little bit sad that football is over, but we'll talk about there's some other avenues there. But yeah, just kind of it's setting in now, 2 days after the Super Bowl, that the NFL season's over. But like you said, it never stops, so we'll keep it going.
Yes, indeed. I mean, this has definitely been the most interesting couple of years, and with news dropping all the time, there's definitely going to be some stuff to talk about. We got a few things lined up for you in today's show, talking some coaching news around the league, Commanders wise, where some quarterbacks may land. And obviously, we got to talk about the Rihanna concert that happened on Sunday and the game that happened around that. So right. We'll check in on that. But first and foremost, let's holler at Brian. Let's learn about our sponsor, Bet Online.
That's right. You can use our code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus. And like we said, football is over, but you can bet on NBA, NHL. Wait, is football over or not? You can actually bet on the XFL. That's what we were talking about there. The San Antonio Brahmas are a 2.5-point home dog. So you can bet on all the XFL games. You can pick a team that you think will win the XFL championship. All of that action starts on Saturday. So they have every sport, everything that you can imagine at betonline.ag. So head on over there for live betting, free contests, and live scores for any sport or game imaginable. We're the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Like I said, head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use our code BLEAV to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts.
I'm looking at this XFL, the XFL game. There's three teams in the state of Texas. You got Arlington, the Arlington Renegades, the Houston Roughnecks, and the San Antonio Brahmas. The Roughnecks, not to be confused with the Odessa Roughnecks of the former Intense Football League, where I got my start in pro ball. But then you also have the Vegas Vipers, the Orlando Guardians, St. Louis Battlehawks, and the Seattle Sea Dragons. So some teams all across the country, most of them here in Texas. So you go up and down I-35, you can catch all of these teams. So that's pretty exciting.
And don't forget the DC Defenders. I've seen some Commanders fans that are already heading out to or plan on to head out to the DC Defenders game. So that's pretty fun. There's a local team in that area. So
yes,
football indeed never ends, apparently. So it's football year round. So I'm glad that there will be something to kind of scratch that itch now that the NFL is over.
Yeah, I think a well-ran spring league, if you kind of get it coordinated with the NFL, I have my own thoughts about how something could work. As long as those two leagues could work together, it could be something that's very positive. I mean, you get You know, in my eyes, you can send some practice squad players, yeah. You know, the guys that don't get much burn, put those guys down there, let them play, let them get some experience. And if you potentially have, you know, it's like a farm system in baseball. That's how I would run it. So you could have somebody in that same system and, you know, they're at least getting some work rather than spending the whole off season doing God knows what. And then waiting on them to show up in OTAs and training camp to potentially have improved. But that's the way I would run a spring league. But that's just me.
I think Dwayne The Rock Johnson, I don't know his official title with the XFL, but I thought I saw a post from him saying that, you know, congrats to the Chiefs on winning the Super Bowl. And he looks forward to the XFL kind of partnering with the NFL. And hopefully there'll be some guys on these rosters that are contributing next year and beyond. So I hope I'm with you. I think it needs to partner up. Hopefully they're doing that and hopefully they're headed that direction.
Yeah, I would. It would almost be like a reserve player. There's some players that are, you know, deemed if you send a player down from, let's say, the Commanders, and you say, okay, you're going to go play for the DC Defenders, that player could be protected, right? You could be like, yeah. Hey, you're not going to go anywhere. You're going to come back to us. We just want you to get some off-season work. I mean, if you imagine you're on practice squad and you know you don't play for 2 or 3 years. I mean, that's a lot of time to not get played, you know, game time and game action. So it would make sense to allow them to spend the offseason. Yeah, they'll get tired. I mean, hell, I spent the whole year playing football before I got to the league, literally in 08 with the Desperados and then to the Dolphins. So that was 50 some odd weeks of football, yeah. But it was worth it. It was work. I needed to be able to put some things on tape to get there. So, but that's neither here nor there. This is not Believe in the XFL, even though I'm sure that
they're headed that way. For
there's
sure.
going to be a podcast that's going to have to cover that league. Hell, maybe it'll be us. You never know. But let's talk about the game that was on Sunday, the Super Bowl 52. You got a big recap, or was that 57?
Lord, 57.
57.
I was doing the math in my head 52. Real quick.
But anyways, Super Bowl just happened, 38-35. Kansas City Chiefs, they pulled it out right there at the end against a hell of a performance by Jalen Hurts. I mean, you got to give him a little hat tip, hand clap. He played phenomenal. A couple of mistakes, obviously, the one fumble. But it was a hell of a game, man. What was your overall thoughts about the game? What was your biggest takeaway from it?
Yeah, I honestly thought it was going to be a low-scoring game. I thought these defenses had been pretty solid, so I thought they were going to tighten it down a little bit. But I was so glad to be wrong that it was a shootout. It was entertaining. It came down to the final plays. It was just about everything you could ask for. I was impressed with both quarterbacks. I think we knew who Patrick Mahomes was, and we'll talk about his legacy here later on. But Jalen Hurts just proved that he belongs right there and he is going to be a force to reckon with for a long time. The Eagles have a stud there, which is frustrating to say as a Commanders fan, a Commanders podcast, but you got to tip your cap, man. He did it on the biggest stage possible. And, it was just a fun game. It was incredible to watch. It felt like a heavyweight bout, right? Like both teams threw some haymakers, both got some good shots in, both made plays when they had to. It was everything you could ask for and more. What were your thoughts? Obviously we have the penalty or no penalty at the end that we'll get into, but overall thoughts on the game for you?
I mean, I think it was exactly what I had expected. I knew it was going to be a shootout. I felt like there were going to be points scored. I mean, Philly's been able to stay on the field a lot, and they use that little power quarterback sneak, you know, push him across the line play that, frankly, I hate. Not because of them, but I don't like it overall in the league. I feel like it's something that they're going to have to outlaw. They're going to have to immediately say you can't do that anymore, just because it. I mean, 4th-and-1, and now you just push them across, and then so it's like, I don't know. It adds another wrinkle to the game, but the game played out like I thought. A lot of points scored. They were able to, the Eagles were able to keep Patrick Mahomes off the field, but in the end, Patrick Mahomes had a little bit too much magic, and you have to give a tip of the cap to Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy. They really adjusted. And I think the game came down to veteran coaches going up against some younger coaches. Steve Spagnuolo on the defensive side. They found a way to contain Jalen Hurts in the second half, didn't run him as much. You got to give Nick Bolton some love. The linebacker, he's out of Frisco, Lone Star here in the area. I know they had some watch parties over there at his high school. he played lights out. He was everywhere. I knew they had to have somebody to spy Jalen Hurts, so he was able to contain him a bit. But there were plays made all across that game, all across that field. I know everybody that was in Arizona did not go home disappointed unless they were wearing green.
That's right. That's right. And yeah, there were so many key plays. I feel like there were so many turning points. Like, you can't even point to one moment. But I think, like you said, the Eagles did everything right. Right. I mean, they did everything right by limiting Patrick Mahomes's possessions. Like you said, I think the key point in the game, though, was that 17 play drive by the Eagles at the end of the third quarter. They go 17 plays, 60 yards, but they have to settle for a field goal. I felt like that was such a huge win for the Chiefs, despite the fact that they had, you know, held onto the ball for 7 minutes and 45 seconds to only give up 3 points and then to only be down by six. I felt like the Chiefs were like, okay, that was the opening we needed. And they took advantage of it, and they reeled off, two touchdowns right after that. So I think that was the key point in the game. It's like the Eagles just, that was the one perfect thing that they didn't. Obviously, Jalen Hurts dropped the football earlier in the game, but that was like the one thing that just kind of left the door just a bit open. And we've seen Patrick Mahomes so many times. You give him, you know, 13 seconds, he's going to do something with the football, but much less a 6-point cushion where he has a chance to take the lead. It was a lot of fun to watch. It was everything you could imagine.
It really was. And you got to also point out Kadarius Toney and that punt return that he had, longest punt return in Super Bowl history. Almost housed it. They almost took that thing to the house. Special team coach Dave Taub, one of the greats in the NFL, he almost got that one to the house, man. And that right there set it up. Dan Orlovsky broke it down amazing on Instagram. He showed a couple of plays. With those last touchdowns that happened, the Chiefs used a little motion, a little jet sweep motion, and to see how the Eagles were going to respect it. And they did this big rotation, this little rock and roll where the corner backs up to the safety, safety bumps down, corner bumps down, try to get ahead of that jet sweep. And then the very next play, they did a little quick return off of that jet sweep and left the Kadarius Toney wide open. Next drive, Sky Moore wide open. And that is good to see if you're a Commanders fan. It's very good to see, because those are coaching adjustments that were made, that they had to put some wrinkles in there. And regardless if it was Eric Bieniemy or Andy Reid, those coaches had to come together and put their minds together to come up with that. So all in all, great performance by the Chiefs. That game did not disappoint.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I had seen some breakdown. It looks like Doug Peterson, the Eagles' old friend, had run something similar with the Jaguars earlier in the year. And so a lot of people were pointing to that. So there were a lot of cool connections there, you know, tying back. And I agree that those are the adjustments were the biggest thing. And then even the Eagles getting down by 8, 35-27, you're like, okay, how is Jalen Hurts going to respond? All he does is he goes down on an 8-play, 75-yard drive to tie it back up. I mean, it just – the adjustments and the counter punches and the back and forth was just really great.
Yeah, and I saw just before the game, the Eagles had even hired Vic Fangio as a 2-week consultant role for his history with the Broncos. So he basically just spilled the beans and all he knew about the Chiefs and their offense. But I guess that 2 weeks, they probably needed 3 weeks, maybe a month of his tutelage to get them ready for the game. But all in all, I mean, it was a good game. It was really a good game. But now a lot of those coaches are moving on. They're going to be moving on to be head coaches elsewhere, and it's going to get exciting now. We're going to have to stir that pot once again.
Well, yeah, today alone, Shane Steichen and Jonathan Gannon both hired away from the Eagles. So the Eagles, that's kind of what happens, right? You go to the Super Bowl, you have a nice run, and then other teams come and deplete your coaching staff. So it happens to the best of them. I think the Eagles are set up for the future, but I think that's why we see so much turnover in the NFL from year to year. Guys move around, players and coaches move around. And so, yeah, it'll be interesting to see now the Eagles. It's Nick Sirianni and two of the guys that were so key for him are now gone to other teams in the Colts and the Cardinals.
Did they officially hire Gannon?
They did. Yeah, I got an update, you know, probably 10 minutes before we were
recording this. Yeah, that must have just happened, because I know that the Cardinals were throwing around a few other names, and Mike Kafka's name came up. OC up there in New York. And I can say speaking of him and then one of his former offensive coordinators, Eric Bieniemy, as we kind of transition to talk about some coaching changes here in the league, I kind of, you know, I'm not mad at Mike Kafka for getting his name thrown out for a head coaching job. More power to you. Congratulations. He's done a great job. But the part about it that frustrates me is that there was nobody sitting there saying, oh, well, he was under Andy Reid. You know, who did the play calling, even though he did go over there to New York. He's over there under Brian Daboll, who's been another awesome play caller, had a great run in Buffalo. So, but the guy who I got my eyes on now is Eric Bieniemy. Eric Bieniemy, I think it was extremely classy of Andy Reid, and I don't think it was on accident. He did it on purpose. Directly after the game, when the microphone was in his face, he talked about how Eric Bieniemy had a huge part in some of the late game adjustments and changes that happened to help them get that win. And I think that was perfectly placed and put out there so that everybody could hear it and know that this guy can and will be a successful offensive coordinator or head coach eventually, but he could do the things that people are saying he can't do. And you know, conversely, you see Mike Kafka 1 year as an offensive coordinator, and he immediately gets, you know, briefly considered as a head coaching candidate in Arizona. Obviously, they went with Gannon out of Philadelphia, but Eric Bieniemy's been in that position for the longest, and he just continued to get passed over because he's under such a great, you know, play caller in Andy Reid.
That and maybe he looks a little different, which is not right. And, you know, we've talked about it plenty of times, but I hope that Eric Bieniemy comes to Washington, D.C. and lights it up, because I think that he is special. And you heard that those jet action, those motion plays were a direct result, or at least I read somewhere that it was a direct result of something that Eric Bieniemy saw. And we've talked about it already, whether or not he calls the plays. He's sitting in the room with the guy in that we are calling the genius in Andy Reid, who absolutely is. He's absolutely a incredible mind when it comes to calling offense. But the fact that he's right there next to him, I mean, sign me up for that all day. And one of the things that I found interesting today that I didn't see this come in until recently either, Bieniemy has been connected to the Commanders and the Ravens, was one of the other teams that was mentioned. The Ravens today hired Todd Monken from the University of Georgia as their offensive coordinator, which leaves the Commanders. So it kind of seems like things are pointing in the right direction. If the Commanders want to make this happen and there's mutual interest, I think it would be a great hire, and I think you don't have anything to lose. And I'm looking forward to a deal being signed, whether it's him or somebody else in this next week.
Yeah, I know today, Valentine's Day, the Commanders are meeting with Greg Roman, the former Ravens offensive coordinator, who you know, is a very much of a run-first guy. And I think he did a really good job designing a play, a playbook, an offense that really, you know, made the most out of Lamar Jackson. And I think that Lamar is still going to be successful inside of a new offense, be it in Baltimore or elsewhere, because his status with the team is kind of up in the air. But all in all, I'm really excited that they could get to Eric Bieniemy, and hopefully they don't let that guy leave. They have the interview, you know, take him to dinner, have another visit, bring Terry in there. Like, you got to do something. You really got to do something to get that guy. I think he'll bring a lot to the team. And frankly, if I'm looking at it, you know, if I'm looking at that pantry as an offensive coordinator, I feel pretty good about what I see. You know, I like the young talent that's at the receiver position. I like the young talent at the running back position. I like the young talent that's at quarterback. You know, the defense, you don't have to worry about that. That's not even your really cup of tea. Only main thing on offense you got to pay attention to is fixing that O-line. And then you'll see what you get out of Sam Howell. And if something, you know, doesn't work, then you know you have, you know, future picks to try to pick somebody else up. So I like what I see for that with that offense, and something that Eric Bieniemy could be interested in.
Yeah, I really feel like we're going to probably record another one later on this week. And I think if I were a heavy betting man, like, and I went to our friends to bet online, I would probably put put it down to be Eric Bieniemy. I think it just makes too much sense. We know Ron likes his connections. We know his connection with Andy Reid, their history. So you got to think that they've been talking. And like you said, it was no coincidence that Andy Reid was hyping him up right after the game. So, yeah, I'm with you. Whenever the formal interview happens, I hope that, you know, they have some sort of agreement worked out by the time that meeting's over, because I think it makes the most sense. And I think for Bieniemy, it makes a lot of sense. He's going to a team with a defensive-minded head coach, and he could essentially be the head coach of the offense while being the offensive coordinator and finally getting to call his own plays and all that stuff. It just it makes too much sense, and I think that it's something that the Commanders need to kind of give them that boost and hopefully get this offense going to catch up with what this defense has done in the last couple of years. You know, the offense has kind of been lagging behind. We've talked about it plenty of times, and I think this could – a creative mind like this could really, really put them over the top, or at least get them to be more competitive and more explosive.
Yeah, but now I will say, we've talked about it before, they want to have a 2-to-1 run ratio. I mean, if you look at the Super Bowl, there was 27 pass attempts by Patrick Mahomes, 26 rush attempts. 26 rush attempts. And not to mention that offensive line gave up how many sacks to the sack leader? Zero. Cero, that's Spanish for zero. Look at that. That's speaking Spanish. This is a bilingual station, y'all.
That's right.
That's awesome. Isaiah Pacheco, 15 carries for 76 yards. He had a 15-yard run for sure. Yeah. Patrick Mahomes ran for 6 for 44. Jerick McKinnon, 4 for 34. And Sky Moore got him some as well.
My guy, Jerick McKinnon from Georgia Southern, went there as well. Interviewed him on the student radio station a few years back. So it was cool to see him win a Super Bowl. I know he was itching to put that ball into the end zone too. How cool that would have been to talk about a Super Bowl touchdown, but for him to slide down at the one was a smart play. So shout out to Jet McKinnon there for
that's good coaching.
That's right.
Coaching. And he's a vet. So he's very smart, but that's good coaching as well. Oh man. And look at it. As I'm looking at the stats, Nick Bolton, 8 solo tackles and an assist, plus a fumble, forced fumble and a fumble recovery for a touchdown. Shout out to the Rook. Have a day, young man. Have a day.
Maybe we glossed over it, but maybe could have had another touchdown. Just one of the many kind of questionable calls. I don't know if you saw the second one where
he
didn't make the football move. I think they had to call it that way. I get it, but you know, it was just your overall thoughts. 30 seconds on officiating. We've seen it all over the place. But what were your thoughts on the calls in that game?
Honestly, I think they called it all pretty straight up and down. There wasn't anything that was too egregious. Then obviously the fumble that you're mentioning, that was the right call. He didn't make a football play after making that catch. I do think the way that they were flying around and reacting to those things really was affecting how Philly wanted to play, because you could see that the Chiefs were kind of catching on to what the Eagles were doing. But that's neither here nor there. Now, the big play, the one that everybody's up in arms about, was the holding on James Bradbury against Juju Smith-Schuster. And this is not just because I'm a receiver, but that was a hold.
Yeah.
That was a hold. And here's my thing. When he ran that first in and out, that little whip route where he kind of fakes down like he's running a slant and works back out, yes, Bradbury grabbed his hip, that pulled himself a little bit closer. I believe that the ref let that slide, because generally they'll let you get a little quick tug as long as you let go. But when Juju spun to go upfield and he grabbed on the back of him and he pulled even more, that is when they had to throw that flag, because one, the jersey came away from the body, but that's literally the second time you pulled him in 2 seconds. There was an earlier play in the game. Juju had ran a little deep in, and Bradbury had to give him a little pull, and Juju was trying to get the flag. They didn't throw it. So it was definitely a hold. People are like, oh, well, they can't call in that situation. Yes, they can, and they should have. Hell, go way back to when Washington played New York in that second game. There was a much more egregious penalty by Darnay Holmes on Curtis Samuel that got no love.
Right. Yeah, and James Bradbury admitted that he did it, right? And we saw two different times that he did it. We saw a couple different angles that you could see him grabbing it. It's unfortunate that it came down to a call like that, but that was the call. Had he not held him, the Chiefs would have scored a touchdown. So, I don't know. You can't have it both ways. You know what I mean? And for a guy like Patrick Mahomes that can put the ball wherever he wants to, the fact that he would have missed Juju Smith-Schuster by that much tells me that something was off with the timing there. And I think it was because Bradbury held him. like he said he did, and he owned up to it. And I'll give him credit for that. I'll give all the Eagles. I haven't seen any Eagles that have come out and said, "Oh, that was a bad call." They owned up to it. They said it was a bad call. They said it was a penalty, and it was. It stinks that, you know, Jalen Hurts didn't get the chance to possess the ball one more time, you know, for a legit shot. That does stink, but it also was a penalty. Both can be true.
Yeah, and I will say, and we mentioned it earlier, that little, if you're upset about the hold, you got to equally be upset about this little power quarterback sneak thing. I hate it.
Yeah.
I hope it goes away. Because I saw a post that, like, it was I think an Eagles like wife or something. She was all mad because she had to watch the final 5 minutes of the game get ran down by the Chiefs after that holding penalty. And I'm like, frankly, if the ball was in the other hand, that's exactly what the Eagles would have done. That's what the league is like nowadays. They play the clock. If they have the opportunity to run that thing down as much as possible, they're going to do it. Is it kind of boring to see at the end? Absolutely. If doing the whole push them across the line thing, that gets extremely frustrating as well. So I think they both fall hand in hand, and I'm sure there'll be some changes from the rule committee in this offseason.
Absolutely. So speaking of, we saw two incredible quarterbacks go at it. We saw Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, and we've already mentioned a guy like Lamar Jackson. Is he going to stay in Baltimore with a new offensive coordinator? Can they get a deal done? But what about all the quarterback news that is kind of popping up around the league? We know the Super Bowl is over, but now the league year is about to start. You got franchise tags and free agency and trades and all that. What do we think on some of these quarterbacks and where they're going? I think it could potentially be crazy. I thought last offseason was pretty crazy, but I think that the way that the league is going, you need a quarterback, and some teams are realizing they'll do just about anything to get there.
Yeah, you do need a quarterback, and I've said before, there's only so many franchise QBs out there, and I think you have to be honest about what you're picking up. You know, I mean, if you're picking up a mid-level, mid-tier guy, you have to understand that and be okay with that, and then work to build your team around it. That's what makes sense to me. I wouldn't want to sit there and continue to put a flyer on a mid-level guy touting like he's going to take us to the promised land. I don't think that that's necessarily, you know, going to happen. I was listening to a great podcast the other day. Gentleman was saying that he plays fantasy baseball, and his friends realized he was really good at it. And his technique was he picked players based on their overall track record. Who have they been over their entirety of the career? He gave the example. If you hit 30 home runs on average, but then you have an off year and you only hit 7. He's like, I'll still pick you because you're averaging 30 home runs.
Sure.
If you look at this same way with it, when it comes to these quarterbacks, what they've done in the past is probably what you're going to get. For lack of a, you know, for however you want to flip it and say it, that's probably what you're going to get out of. And it's not a bad thing. Just don't think that you're going to all of a sudden turn a mid-level guy into a Tom Brady or a Patrick Mahomes. Like, that's not what he's ever shown you in the past, right? Yeah. So whenever you're picking these quarterbacks or all these different teams, I think they got to really make some of those decisions with that in mind.
Let me – that as you're saying that, the biggest name for me, or the name that I think is most obviously going to move, is Derek Carr, right? He's the Raiders said they're moving on. Sounds like he's not going to be traded. He's going to get his chance to pick, his team and vice versa.
Power move by him.
Yeah, absolutely. But to me, you know, we see what he's been able to do. We see some of the stats, but then I saw that his record is 63-70-something. Is a team going to get a real upgrade, or are they going to get this quarterback that, while he seems to have all the tools, can't put it together? What are your thoughts there? And I mean, not necessarily the Commanders, but is any team, should they be breaking the bank for a guy like Derek Carr?
Well, I think, you know, there's a few teams out there where you can think that, you know, that's probably who you want to work with, especially if you feel like you have a better team that's around them. One spot that seems pretty intriguing is the Jets for me. I think that having, you know, Garrett Wilson, young talented rookie, Breece Hall is going to come back from that, you know, that ACL injury, or I think it's ACL. So you have some pieces in there that if you have a, you know, steady, you know, player at quarterback, somebody that's not too old, you can put something together. Well, you know, they had New Orleans as a name, or as a team that was out there. But I don't know. I feel like New Orleans has a few more things moving around. There's probably a few more pieces. They could almost blow that up if they wanted to. But I would say the Jets would work for him. But once again, I don't know if he's going to really take you know, that much higher. But they have a lot of young pieces that could work up there in New York.
Yeah, I agree. The reason I say that is because, like, we thought that he needed, like, a number one, right? And he gets Devontae Adams, and maybe it was a system fit with Josh McDaniels. We kind of talked about how we weren't sold on Josh McDaniels, but it just feels like a lot of excuses have been made for Derek Carr. And at a certain point, it's kind of like, well, maybe is it the guy himself? So it just kind of reminds me a little bit of the Commanders and Carson Wentz last year. It's like, like you said, you kind of know what you're getting. You've seen this guy at that point in a couple of different spots. We've seen Derek Carr. We've seen some of these quarterbacks, and we know what they are. And I just feel like some teams kind of fool themselves into thinking that, oh, we're the stop. We're the place that he's going to put it all together. So, you know, I think I'm – you know, taking it back to the Commanders, I'm kind of glad that it seems like they're not really in the market for one of these veteran quarterbacks. Now, Lamar Jackson, one of those absolute studs, would be different, but like a Derek Carr or one of those kind of middle tier quarterbacks, I think that I'd rather see what Sam Howell has to offer. Like we've said, I think that could be more exciting and could pay off bigger than a guy like Derek Carr specifically.
Yeah, and it allows you to build elsewhere. You know, you can build on that team from other in other spots rather than trying to, you know, put all your, you know, eggs in a basket. Don't put your ducks in a basket. Let your ducks waddle around. Yeah, you put all your eggs in one basket, and then you kind of hamstring yourself. And I think, you know, I kind of just briefly think, and I don't know what the Raiders, you know, how good of a defense that they have. Really, how good has their team been? You know, there might be a better team up there in New York. You know, if they get that defense going right, Robert Saleh, if they keep riding high, it could be something that makes sense. How would Derek Carr look with Nathaniel Hackett? You know, that may be a good marriage, maybe. Who knows? So that's one quarterback to think about. Another guy up there in Green Bay, Nathaniel Hackett's old coach, who obviously has some ties to Vegas and has some ties to New York. So if you had to pick one of those two, you're Aaron Rodgers. Is it Vegas? Is it New York? Or is it a place to be named later?
Well, I think I saw a report that the Packers, I guess, don't want to trade him in conference, which makes sense. You don't want, I guess, the chance to have him keep you out of the playoffs. But I think that they're, you know, kind of where there's smoke, there's fire. And it seems like Devontae Adams has really been reaching out and staying in touch with his old teammate there in Green Bay. We know Derek Carr is not going to be the quarterback in Vegas. And I think Aaron Rodgers to Vegas makes a whole lot of sense to go play with a guy that he has a great relationship with, and they put up big numbers. So I think it makes too much sense to me for him to go to the Raiders. Does it actually happen? Does it work out? I think that'll be the holding up point or not. And his 4-day silence retreat or whatever that is, that's starting up soon. So if I had to pick between those two, and I really think it probably will come down to those two or staying in Green Bay, but I would go with the Raiders.
Yeah. I'm almost feeling like, I feel like if you had to rank the two, Aaron Rodgers and Derek Carr, people are going to probably try to wait and see what Rodgers does first before they make their second move.
Yeah.
Okay. The Jets obviously getting Nathaniel Hackett, probably trying to push that as a reason to coerce A-Rod up there to New York. And I think that spot makes sense, probably for the exact same reasons that it made sense for Derek Carr. My question about going to Vegas is how would Aaron Rodgers mesh with Josh McDaniels? You know, because I remember hearing about McDaniels going to Denver when he first went there. He was just doing all this other stuff, and everybody like, he thinks he's Belichick. And it didn't rub people the right way. And then you heard how Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur, their relationship in the beginning really didn't, you know, wasn't always the best, wasn't always the smoothest. They found ways to win and they got it handled. But I wonder if those, you know, those two egos that could potentially clash, but I would still tie A-Rod to New York. It doesn't make sense to go try to team back up with Devontae Adams, but I wonder, you know, Aaron Rodgers holds a little bit of a grudge. He holds a grudge against the 49ers for not drafting them. So there's a good chance he could hold a grudge against Devontae for leaving when I guess all signs were pointing to him potentially coming back. So maybe he goes up there and tries to get a connection with the young Garrett Wilson and that offense. So
yeah,
I say New York, stay in green.
Yeah. Okay. And so, like, I agree with you. I think Aaron Rodgers kind of moving around. Derek Carr, is Lamar Jackson going to move? I think, like, once one of these dominoes falls, I think that's when we'll start to see some openings open up. And not to mention the draft, and it'll be quite the offseason. I'm hoping for chaos reasons. I'm hoping that everybody changes teams. Like, it's like a big, like, Madden fantasy draft where everybody's just kind of back into the pool and you draft from that. So I thought last season was fun with Russell Wilson moving around, Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan didn't work out, but you know, I think it's fun to see guys change teams and see what they got in a different place.
Yeah. The post I saw, there was little rumblings that, you know, potentially a Tua Tagovailoa for Lamar Jackson trade could be something that happens. It could be intriguing for the Ravens. And I mean, frankly, that'd be a very fast offense down there in Miami. I mean, Lamar is from Florida. Mike McDaniel would probably be just giddy with all of those tools and just so much speed. Like, could you imagine like a wildcat with like Tyreek Hill in the backfield and Lamar Jack? Like, it could just be just absolutely nasty. But you mentioned Lamar maybe going into Washington. Now, if you had to do a trade, if you had to trade one player, and I'll just pose it like this: would you trade Chase Young for Lamar Jackson and whatever other pieces need to make? If Chase Young's name came up, would you make that trade?
I think you'd have to. As much as I think that Chase Young, when fully healthy, can wreck a game, Lamar Jackson's a former MVP, and I still think can play at that level. I think you wouldn't even think twice, unfortunately. As much as, you know, I like Chase and I think he's a leader, that kind of thing, Lamar Jackson's on a different planet at the most important position in all of sports. I think you'd have to do it for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely one of them ones that make you think for a second. You're like, okay, yeah, maybe so. Yeah, I mean, even though you still have to consider that you do have to re-sign Lamar and he's going to want a contract and et cetera, but you know, if you're already deciding that you're not going to pick up Chase's option, you can let another team, you know, handle that. And frankly, that would be a nasty defense. I know that he's been playing, defensive Van Hand in the dirt in the 4-3. Chase Young doing an outside linebacker, in a defense. I mean, you got Patrick Roquan Smith. My gosh. Yeah. And I'm sure the Ravens would probably say, give me DeRon Payne as well.
Right.
And they really just try to tear everything up. But,
scary. Quarterback news kind of coming back to Washington is how I always think about it, because I'm a fan of them. But, like, you wonder if Eric Bieniemy comes in, let's say it's him, does he convince Ron, hey, actually, I'd love to go after this quarterback, if he would have any say there? I don't know that he would, and, you know, the team's cap situation, you know, may or may not affect that. But it would be interesting to see if, like, you know, I'll come as long as we're looking at a XYZ player here. Yeah. I think that could be interesting to see as well. But I'm excited for what Sam Howell has to offer. It just would be interesting to see what the new OC has to say about the quarterback situation.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you're going to give him the whole, you know, the keys to the kitchen, if you will, I think you have to at least take his input a little bit. But I also think that he could probably be successful with what he has.
Well I was going to say, you know, you hire a new cook, right? You know, you might say you can use whatever you want, but hey, we need a couple of years before you replace the oven. We need a couple of years before you upgrade the countertops. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
that's a good point as well.
Yeah. I mean, like, I like how you took that. You took that and ran with that well, man. It's like a relay race. It's like we've been doing this all year, man.
Yeah, you put it near the rim, I'll be there.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. My man got ups. Oh, man. This has been an exciting little show, man. Yeah. This has been a good show. Folks, now, you know, this doesn't end. All right, we'll have more things to talk about, more topics. We might be back later this week if Commanders make a decision. But make sure you guys follow us on Twitter, follow us on Instagram. hit us up. Shout out to Ken Jackson. I think he had responded I think he replied to something that I asked folks to go chop it up on Twitter with us. So shout out to him. He's in the Knuckleheads pod. Him and I can't think of his co-host name. I apologize. Been on there a couple times with him. Big Commanders fan. One of them, Ken, lives down here in the Dallas area. So either way, shout out to them. Shout out to everybody that gives us a listen. We definitely appreciate it. And you know where you can listen to us. Tune in radio, SiriusXM sometimes. Watch Stadium is a place that you can get us as well. And all your favorite streaming platforms. So wherever you get your podcast is where we at.
That's right. Thank you guys for joining us. And I put a little poll out about the offensive coordinator and people were on the bell ready to reply to that. So a lot of people want Eric Bieniemy. So yeah, talk to us about what you guys want to see on the show and your thoughts, and we'd love to incorporate some of that. So thank you guys for listening all season long. I know the NFL season is officially over, but like we've said so many times, and like Anthony said, we'll keep it going all off season long, have updates about the team and all that good stuff. So stay with us, and we appreciate you being along for the ride.
Yes, indeed. Once again, last little bit, take it over there to Bet Online. They still got bets you can make. NBA, NCAA is coming up. You can do some futures. If you already feel like the Texas Longhorns are going to win the championship next year, you can go ahead and put NCAA futures on there. So all the bets out there on Bet Online, use our code BLEAV, that's Believe, to get your 50% welcome bonus. Y'all be easy. Y'all stay safe. We'll see you on the next one.
Talk to you soon.
Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you gotta check out NexGard Plus, afoxolaner, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease, plus it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored, soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus Chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on.
Crunch Island. It's John LaFoot.
And he stole our crunch!
Quick, the zip line!
He's getting away!
Throw our last crunch berry!
No!
No one steals my crunch berries!
I think you mean my crunch berries. Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch!
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang in there.
Because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.